Today on The Balanced Word.
Solomon is just going, wouldn't you rather be the kind of person that refreshes people? I've said before, some people can light up a room just by entering. Other people can light up a room just by leaving. So who are you? How are you affecting people? Is what you have to say, do you bring good news, as Solomon says? Do you refresh people? Or do you give them something else to worry about? Something else that they ought to be scared of? Something, another reason why they should think that the world is going to hell in a handbasket?
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted.
If asked to describe how you'd like to be treated by others, what comes to mind? No doubt you'd like to be treated with kindness. And wouldn't you like to be treated as equals? To have people not look down on you, or up at you for that matter? Well, that's really how we're to treat others, as we'll learn today on The Balanced Word through a study of the Proverbs. Pastor Dave Rolfe is uncovering the way to smarter living in his current series. And today, as you may have guessed, we're encouraged to treat others with kindness and equality.
Everybody wants to be righteous. You want to do life the best way that you can. You want to do the right things. We sometimes just labor so much as if people don't want to be right. People do what they do because they think it's the right thing for them to do at the time. Maybe they feel guilty because they know other people don't think it's right. But the truth is, if they didn't think it was right, they wouldn't be doing it. So Solomon here says, righteousness is a good thing. And you certainly need to show people, here's how to do it right. You need to be that example. But righteousness needs to be, coupled with this equality treatment, this way of honoring someone, connecting with them as peers, in order for it to have any kind of an effect at all. You don't have your life changed by somebody saying, I'm doing it right and you're doing it wrong. Your life changes when someone comes along and is connected to you and they show you what righteousness looks like. They look at you and go, wow, that person, that man, that woman, they really know how to live. It's inspiring to see someone living, doing the right things, and at the same time, they aren't looking down at you because you do it differently. They're like connected to you. They're like, you know what? If you do it differently than me, we can still be family. If you do it differently than me, we can still be friends. I still care about you and I love you. And you get to choose how you want to do things. I'll do things my way. And, you know, if it ends up you see that I'm doing it right, maybe that's going to influence you. But if the way I do right makes it look offensive and wrong and denigrating, well, I'm not going to want to do it your way, no matter how loud you yell about it, no matter how hard you try to persuade me. Anytime you are trying to talk somebody into doing it right, you're already losing the battle. Because when people tell you what's right, if they do it as peers, you know, you'll listen. If they do it as somebody who looks down at you, pointing a finger at you, you're just going to be like, huh, I'm not going to give in to that. People don't want to be forced into something that they don't choose. So we have to show them how to live life, and they'll figure it out because we're connected to them. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Do the right thing, but do it as equals. Communicate it in a way that isn't denigrating to another person. Now turn over to a couple chapters to Proverbs 24 and verse 29. And we see another concept that often is connected to this. And he talks about what we often refer to as the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity says, if you do something to me, then I'm going to do something to you. It's getting even. And he lets us know here in Proverbs 24:29, do not say, I will do to him just as he has done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. Jesus described this law of reciprocity by saying, you know, people have said, you know, to hate your enemy, to fight against them, to do to them what they do to you. But I'm telling you, love your enemies. I'm telling you not to respond in kind. Now, Jesus, of course, in Matthew 7, verse 12, gave us what we call the golden rule, which is, we usually say it as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The way he worded it was the way that you want to be treated, you treat other people that way. The golden rule says you don't just sit here and respond to what somebody else is doing. That's not the way to live your life. Now, you would think that Jesus' proactive statement, you decide to treat people the way you want to be treated, that's something that isn't that far off of saying, you know, if people treat you bad, treat them bad. But here's the problem. When you go by the law of reciprocity, going, I treat people the way they treat me, there's so much room for misunderstanding and deterioration. You may see me, we're walking down the street and we recognize each other, and you may say to me, hey, how you doing? And I go, oh, fine. And we walk past each other and I'm thinking, I wonder why she said, how are you doing? What did she hear? Do I look like I'm not doing well? I bet she was talking to so-and-so and they were saying this. And then she's thinking about me. Fine. The way he said it, it didn't sound like that convincing. He didn't say great. He said fine, just fine. That's how. And he was kind of looking at me weird and quizzically. And so next thing I know, we're both creating these scenarios that drive a wedge between us. See, that's the law of reciprocity. Solomon says, don't do that. Jesus tells us, no, you just give everyone the benefit of the doubt and you treat them the way you would want to be treated. Let's knock off the reciprocity. Because if we are going to get along with others, we can't allow it to deteriorate to he said, she said, I did this, they did that. That isn't treating someone as an equal. That's treating someone as a rival. And so Solomon says, nah, don't do that. Use the golden rule instead. And then over in Proverbs 25, last couple verses that we will look at, there are two verses here that are connected that I think really describe what your life is like when you are treating people kindly. Verse 13, like the cold of snow in time of harvest. You know, in harvest you're sweating, it's miserable, and all of a sudden a little bit of snow comes, and it's not going to hurt the crops because you're already harvesting them, but it's so refreshing. So like that is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. And then over in verse 25, same chapter, chapter 25, verse 25, as cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. The question here is, if you want to know how you're treating people really, are you connecting with them in a sense of equality, the way they want to be connected with, then all you have to do is ask yourself, how do people feel after they talk to me? There are some people, and you know people, who in your life, who when you talk to them, it's just like, oh, it's just draining. They suck the life out of you. You see their number come up on your caller ID, and you're like, if I hit the red button now, do they know that I didn't take the call, or how does that work? I don't, you know, but you just know they don't have anything good to say. There are other people who, even when they're going through tough times, they encourage you. They, you know, they refresh you. I think of my friend Myrene down here, who's for years been battling off and on with cancer, and yet when she can barely walk or move, I've never had a time when I saw her that she didn't make me feel good. that she didn't make me feel encouraged and refreshed. She's just that kind of person. She does it in people's lives. So Solomon is just going, wouldn't you rather be the kind of person that refreshes people? I've said before, some people can light up a room just by entering. Other people can light up a room just by leaving. So who are you? How are you affecting people? Is what you have to say, do you bring good news, as Solomon says? Do you refresh people? Or do you give them something else to worry about? Something else that they ought to be scared of? Something, another reason why they should think that the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Hey, you know, the world probably is going to hell in a handbasket, okay? There are a lot of reasons to go, oh, haven't seen that before. But you know what? You sharing that with somebody isn't going to help their life one bit. It's that's you grabbing people and going, you're so stupid, you don't even see this. You need to understand, you need to read this, you need to go there, you need to do this, because you just don't get it. You need to be like me. That's not very refreshing. That doesn't make people feel respected or appreciated. Solomon lets us know, people just want to be treated, not in a denigrating way, not as, they don't want to be treated like charity, and they don't want to be elevated like gods. They just want to be regular people. I totally, as a pastor, I know sometimes people treat me with undue respect probably because, oh, I'm a pastor. And I understand that. I've certainly treated people like that in the past. But, you know, it's really nice when people just treat you like a regular person. When people are like, hey, can you pray for me about this and how can I pray for you? Instead of just, you know, here, I'll dump some more stuff on you. Again, I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to pray for anybody who needs prayer, but it's so refreshing when someone just treats you like a regular person. I mean, when people call me Pastor Dave, I like that because pastor means shepherd, and that's kind of cool. So, but you can call me Dave. That's totally fine. Or Reverend Doctor. But no, I don't do that. But see, this is what Solomon's getting at. You connect to people as equals, and that's what they really want. And anything that you do that makes somebody feel less or that makes somebody feel like, you know, oh, you've got some great standard you need to live up to. I don't know what is worse, when people treat you like, you know, you are just scum, or when people treat you like you're better than that. No, I'm not better than that. That's just me. You know, this is who I am. We can be friends. That's what everybody really wants, is just that equal treatment. And so Solomon does this, and I think it's a good reminder for us for sure. In the Bible, a couple of things in the Old Testament really amazed me. Because you have, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God. Then you come in Genesis to this guy Abraham, and it calls him a friend of God. That's radical that he would call Abraham his friend. David came along, and God says that he's a man after my heart. I mean, that's pretty cool. But nothing even compares to that, like Jesus coming to earth, becoming a man, and Jesus saying to people, you know what, like John 15, you can read about it, he goes, you guys aren't my servants, you're my friends. The Jesus, God, the one who died to save us, the one who made us, going, you're my friends. But it gets even more interesting because several times Jesus said and didn't contradict it, that people call me the friend of sinners and publicans, tax collectors. They call me friends with those people. Those people, the prostitutes, the addicts, those who have trashed their life. Jesus didn't mind somebody accusing him of being friends with them. And that tells you a lot about Jesus. But here's the thing. When you compare the worst person on the world or the best person on the world to Jesus, who came from the glory of heaven, who came down here, why did he become a person? So that he could treat us like equals. And the worst person in the world or the best person in the world is not and will never be equal to Jesus. But Jesus treats us that way anyway and says, I'll be your friend. You might think you're a pretty good person now. You've been a Christian for a long time and you're better than everyone you know. Do you really think you're equal to Jesus? But for Jesus, he was all about, you guys are my friends, disciples, and you guys are my friends, prostitutes. But the worst one, and I thought about this week, and I just broke down crying, Judas, the guy who lived with Jesus for 3 years, ate his food, walked with him, listened to his teaching, helped pass out the food to the 5,000 people, the loaves and fishes, and collected it back. And Judas, who then betrayed Jesus, there could be nothing worse than that. He sold him out. And when Judas came with the soldiers to Jesus in the garden, and what did Jesus say to him as Judas bent over to kiss him? Friend. He was a friend of Judas. He treated Judas with respect. That just blows my mind. And yet the truth is sometimes, you know, I may betray him. I may go against him. I may do things that he specifically tells me not to do. And I know that he still looks at me as his friend. That if he can connect with Judas, that's a pretty low bar. That's Jesus. If there was no one there that was his equal, and yet he treated everyone as an equal. That's what I call kindness, mercy, being nice, treating people the way they really want to be treated. It's that simple. And there was nothing about those people, any of them, that would make them equal to him, but he treated us all that way anyway, and that's true today. Except that. The amazing thing is, Jesus actually makes us his equals. No. Yeah, we are considered heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. How can you say that? How could that even be? Because of a doctrine called the atonement, where Jesus, when he died for us, he forgives all of our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the Bible tells us that he clothes us with his righteousness so that when God sees us, if we put our faith in Jesus, God sees us as equal to Jesus, as brothers and sisters of him, as members of his family. That's crazy. But that's what the Bible teaches. That's what he does for us. Today we will be celebrating what we call communion. The reason we call it communion is this is the reminder of what we have in common. This is a reminder of the connections that we have to each other through Jesus Christ. And if we have put our faith in him, then we, as we participate in this ceremony, as we eat the little cracker that Jesus said, this is my body that's broken for you. As we drink the cup, this is my blood that was shed for you. He says, we're family. We are all family with everyone who names the name of Jesus all over the world, in every church that worships Jesus, that accepts his atonement. Look what we have in common. He treats us all as his family. And he did what he did on the cross and said, hey, don't forget this. Don't forget what it is to be connected, to be common, to have that koinonia, that connection. What a great thing for us to be reminded of, that we meet him and what he did for us so that we could not only be treated as equal, but we could be all family connected together. Now, if you're here today and you've never really, you don't even know if you've ever totally accepted Jesus, you've kind of hung around, you hear the stories, you like the idea of Jesus, but maybe you've never connected with him as your friend. Today would be a great day to do that. Jesus cares about you, loves you, died for you so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be clean, so that you can actually be connected to him. And communion would be one of the most beautiful times I can think of for you to look at your friend Jesus and say, I want to be connected to you. I want that relationship. And you can do it very simply, and I'd suggest that you do it in just a moment. They're going to pass out the bread and the cup, and as you're holding it in your hand, and we'll all take it together. But just think about it. Did you ever think about Jesus, the God of the universe, that he really just wants to be your friend? That's why he became a person. That's why he died on the cross, rose from the dead. All of that was so that he could extend an offer to you to say, as he held his hand out to you, come on, take my hand, be my friend. The really amazing thing is, if you decide you're not up for that right now, he still feels the same way about you. He will continue to treat you as a friend. He will continue to extend that offer. He will continue to love you. And the truth is, we feel the same way. I'm not going to tell you, grab you by the throat, and you need to accept Jesus right now. You're going to burn in hell for... No, I'm just telling you, I have a friend that wants to be your friend too. And he's the best friend you could ever have. Because nobody else in your life really treats you in perfect harmony with total forgiveness and love and grace. They try. Hopefully you have people in your life that kind of connect with you that way. But if you reject him, he's going to still love you just as much. He honors your response, whatever that response is. But I would suggest to you, what in the world would you have to lose by accepting his hand of friendship, by accepting his offer of grace, by accepting that the God who made everything just wants to look you in the eye face to face and have a relationship with you.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Now to finish up our time in prayer, here again is Dave.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for having that kind of love for us, for having this amazing capacity to treat us like equals. When there's nothing equal about us, but you choose to lift us up, to look us in the eye, to accept us as your family. Thank you for giving yourself for us. giving your life, putting your body and blood on the line so that we would know forever the extent to which you would go to make us family, so that you could be connected with us as your sacrifice pays the penalty for everything that's wrong and broken and confused in us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Next time around, we'll be talking about temptation as our series Smarter Living continues here on The Balanced Word with Dave Rolfe, a presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and knees.